Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us, your people. Help us to recognize how to pray, how to have compassion for one another, and what to do in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's talk about both current events as well as current concerns. Let's talk about winter travel concerns also. Maybe list the things to have. Yes, let's do that. As well as why I am concerned about what there is coming. And so here we are. It's 2018 on the Gregorian calendar. Oh, life is good. Let's just kind of relax for a while. The country has not seen any sort of crisis for a while. The stock market keeps rising and rising over the years. Unemployment hasn't really gotten worse, has it? Inflation problems haven't been in the news. We haven't had any terrorist attacks. That is, not from terrorist organizations, none recently. And no one is really worried, are we? After all, the food prices are stable. Gold and silver aren't jumping up. And we are not in a war. And President Trump's financial abilities, well, with those, how could we even have a problem? Well, that's one side of the discussion. And the other side is our country is still divided by divergent views. And neither side is inclined to compromise. The pattern of the stock market for the last 100 years indicates that even though the market keeps going up and up, a very big correction or drop is way overdue. Real unemployment numbers are very high, and there are some 95 million Americans who want a job but cannot find employment. Inflation. The average American experiences a much higher rate of inflation than the government reports. And about terrorist attacks, well, maybe we aren't seeing them, maybe, but we certainly are concerned with the rising violence in our society. Food prices haven't jumped on a year-to-year basis over the last 10 years. Well, but they have doubled in 10 years, at least in some cases. And gold and silver prices aren't jumping up because when they start to rise, for some unknown reason, some entity steps into the market and sells millions of dollars worth of gold or silver contracts, and that lowers the price. And the market prices drop. Well, what about war? We might think that the United States is not in a war, but, and that's because it's frequently not in the news, but we are in our nation's longest war ever. The longest war in our nation's history, Afghanistan. Also, for 15 years, U.S. troops have been in Africa. 15 years. In those years, 36 U.S. troops, soldiers, have died. when they were conducting or supporting military operations in Africa. Plus, we are concerned about war breaking out in the Middle East, not to mention North Korea's situation, and that could, for several reasons, become a catastrophe. But, now I talked about that last month, and if you are interested, go to www.christtoday.org, lowercase, no spaces, and it was on December 9th, 2016, if you want more thoughts about that. So it's likely that President Trump will guide us well and we won't have problems. But remember, he is only a man. And what we really want to do is follow God's guidance. And God's principles are found in the Bible. The Bible is a good book, so read it. And with biblical understanding, we can follow a good and godly principle as we go about life. One factor I like about President Trump is that he has much experience in dealing with all sorts of business things, including bankruptcies. And our nation, well, it could very well be bankrupt. We have economic problems and situations. So those are the big picture thoughts, but there's little pictures also that we could look at. Like, here it is winter time now. And sure, we're in California, so why worry? The reason is because surprises happen. Yep, it could be a big rainstorm, an unexpected snowstorm, or a spur-of-the-moment trip to the snow. And that's what I call being prepared for a just-in-case situation. And sure, most of the problems we run into are small, but they are still problems. Mostly they're to do with a car battery being near the end of its life, which is 5 years. And that battery life, can be shortened by a year or more if the battery has been drained, maybe by leaving the headlights on or something else on in the car. Car batteries, they can be a problem. So that's the first thought about vehicle trouble. The next thought is for your vehicle's tires. You want to look at those tires and make sure there's no obviously low air pressure. And so check those tires with a tire pressure gauge. And that gives you a chance to correct a problem before it occurs when you're on the road. It seems to me that these two things will take care of most of the problems that we have on the road. But while you're looking, just have a look under the hood. Engine oil, radiator antifreeze, transmission fluid, windshield wiper fluid. Those are kind of the most obvious things. Oh, we can look at the fan belts for wear and cracks, and the windshield wipers too. Those are the simple pre-trip checks that you want to do. And always, whatever checks you do, remember the spiritual check. Make sure your relationship with Jesus Christ is solid. So let's see. In our world, there are conflicts going on around us. There is North Korea, Africa, Ukraine, the Middle East, and that ever-present Palestinian conflict, as well as Syria, Yemen, and everything seems to be heating up. In Iran, too, things are heating up. There's snipers shooting both sides of the protesters and the police. And one thing that's notable is in these Iranian protests, look at them, you'll notice that the signs are written in good American English. So that makes me think that some hidden force has in mind to influence Americans. Clearly, to manipulate Americans. But who would want to manipulate Americans all the way from Iran? Ha! Well, a hidden force. Somebody who wants to have conflicts continue. And even to change the power structure in America. A lot of people would like that. Well, we will discover soon enough if we keep looking. but we don't want to be manipulated through fear or violence. And that's how we, American people, usually are manipulated, through violence and fear. Don't let them reduce our freedoms. We want the freedoms that we have and the rights that we have. And history shows that the best way to counter these destructive forces, powers, is to have a strong middle class, especially if it is Christian and it is educated. A strong middle class has achieved so many good things, and they do this by having a biblical moral structure. I know there's people who would argue this point of view, but I would say look at what lasts over time, and a biblical moral structure promotes prosperity and stability over time. And guess what? In the United States, the middle class is shrinking. And so is the fundamental Christian biblical orientation. I suppose there could be a correlation here. What do you think? And so for more ordinary concerns, well, it's January. And how do you prepare your vehicle for winter travel? Consider taking along a few things, like jumper cables, a can of air to fix your flat tire if you ever have one, a spare windshield wiper assembly or head. Sometimes they fall off. And maybe antifreeze or even a fan belt that you use. How about a vinyl gloves to keep your hands clean if you have to touch something for maintenance on that car? And if you're going into an area where it might snow, you could take along a windshield scraper, tire chains with tensioners, and a plastic bag to sit on when you put the chains on. Even a shovel is good. And don't forget how cold the cold really is. When you get into the cold areas, it's cold. Bring an extra windbreaker or jacket to put on, and a watchman's cap and gloves. If you're in the snow, remember how bright it can be when the sun shines on it. So sunglasses can be a good idea too. Road flares? Yep. A toe strap? Sure. A saw? All those things are possibilities. And don't forget a second pair of walking shoes, because one pair might get wet, or you just might want a different pair of shoes or boots. So back to the economy. Some say it is good, and it's only going to improve under President Donald Trump. I hope it does, and yet I cannot close my eyes to the conditions around the country. And that includes the chain stores, which are going out of business or have gone out of business in 2017. Thousands of stores have closed, and tens of thousands of employees have been laid off. This is a concern, sure, and it's also a concern about our high cost of pension benefits and Social Security benefits. In some cases, especially for certain government retired workers, these benefits are so generous, well, it's just hard to see how our country can afford to continue to pay them, especially when we have a $20 trillion national debt. As I think of the economy getting difficult and normal life getting difficult too, I think of it's good to have some things on hand. I think of the principle of camping, because when you go camping, you want to be independent and have what you carry with you be adequate. So I think about when I travel, what would I take to go camping, because there's a certain parallel there. And if we were to need things, it would be right along that same list. So whether you're just plain old traveling or camping, like backpacking or something, think about the things which you would take with you. It's a first aid kit, for instance. Take what you know how to use and consider the space you have. A light sleeping bag is good, a wool blanket, a space blanket, a heavy-duty garbage bag or two, and a tarp. Those just are multi-use. Often enough, a fire starting kit is recommended, and there's nothing wrong with that. For that, you would want the large, plain wood matches, the strike anywhere kind, and put them in a waterproof match container. Maybe have a little dry wood with you for kindling, and anything will start a you will want to have anything with you to start a fire, whether it's a butane lighter, matches, or even flint and steel. But the point is if that's your concern, have some secondary option to start that fire. As to your clothes, I suggest that the wool be used for clothes. Not cotton, because cotton drains your heat, and wool is inclined to preserve your heat, body heat. And wool retains a whole lot more heat when it's damp or wet than cotton. Synthetics are also very nice, but you have to remember that if you're around a fire, synthetic will burn and not stop burning. So I always want to say be cautious about using synthetics. Maybe use it for your outer layer. For other clothes, I think it's important to have a cap, like a watchman's cap, and gloves, both the warm kind and the work kind. I've already said extra shoes or boots, have extra wool socks. An extra jacket is good. Sometimes they get wet and you will want to change. You'll want to have personal hygiene items, and that's whatever you happen to choose. Toothbrushes are nice. And whatever goes along with that, like floss and toothpaste or chapstick and a razor, those are good for your personal hygiene items. Maybe antiperspirant and your favorite soap. Don't forget what the woman's needs are with makeup or anything else. I suggest having two flashlights also. The dull one for what you just plain normally use because it stays on for such a long time. And a bright one because, well, sometimes you just need that bright light. A clock with an alarm is a good idea, and I mean having one that is not your cell phone. Then have extra batteries for everything that takes a battery. Consider a map and a compass, paper and pencil, or pen. And what always is a good idea is water and food. And if you're thinking about going someplace where it's freezing in your car or the weather is freezing, I would suggest small containers of water and not gallon containers of water, because you can thaw out a smaller container if it becomes frozen much easier than if you have a gallon container. Food is what you choose. But you want it to have calories, and maybe nutrition too, or maybe you want vitamins for your nutrition. Hand warmers, they're always good for warming up. Or you might want to rely on that old method of warming, which is to run around or to dance around. It's a good method too. Burn those calories and get warm. You have to remember to drink water. Even if it's cold, your body needs water. Whether it's hot or cold, any sort of weather, your body just plain needs water. In the cold weather, there are two easy ways to tell if you are getting hypothermic. And one is, if you're by yourself, you can do this. See if you can easily touch your thumb and your pinky finger together on the same hand. If you have trouble doing that, the cold is getting to you. And if you can do it normally, you're in good shape. Now, the other method is you need someone else to do this because they have to tell you if you are speaking slowly or very slowly. And that's what happens if you get hypothermic. So it takes... There's one other method, and that is if you are using poor judgment and making poor decisions, but you kind of need somebody else to tell you that one too. It's just your reasoning abilities decrease greatly if you are too cold. So these are a list of things that are my own ideas. Of course, you can have your own ideas and should. But the idea is to give you some thoughts, and then you consider what is important to you and what isn't. And everybody has their own individual needs. You know, like an artist would want drawing paper, and a soldier or a hunter would want a gun with extra bullets, and a mechanic, he would want to have a set of tools, and a backpacker will want a backpack. So we all have different things, and I should have put backpack in on the list too, because that's always a good idea just in case you have to walk somewhere and you want to take your things with you. Backpacks are good. So I expect everyone will make their own list which suits them in a personal way. So these lists are ideas to inspire you to examine what it is that you want to have with you. Now, if you knew what the future held, you could make a perfect list, but you don't know and I don't know what the future holds. And for some things, the Bible does tell us what will happen, but it does not tell us when it will happen. I think that you can look at your own life, life experiences, and history, historical patterns, and get a pretty good idea of what the future holds, but it's certainly not an exact pattern. But examine what the future holds and see what it is like to examine it, because if difficulties are coming, preparations can reduce those difficulties. But you're the one who has to see what it is that you're concerned about. I do hope that I am inspiring you to look at the what-if question and prepare for that just-in-case situation. I pray that all people can discern the future. We need to pray. We need to pray against evil and for righteousness. Praying is important. And praying is something that each one of us could do at any time, no matter what our abilities are. No matter what our disabilities are, we can always pray. And we're told to always pray in Ephesians 6:18. Let us remember to pray for each other. Pray for those people who you think do need prayer, and pray for those people who you think do not need prayer. Just pray for each other. Pray to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Well, now back to physical matters. I'm thinking of the Bible and medical items, automotive items, food preservation, garden tools, and maybe defensive tools. All these are physical items, and we know physical because that's the world in which we live. But somehow, every physical item that we talk about can disappear. Sometimes unexpectedly. But what you know, your knowledge, is something that you can take with you anywhere. It can't be lost. It can't be confiscated. It can't be stolen. So consider this as you study, that your knowledge is important. Study. Practice creative thinking and creative problem solving. And don't forget, the simplest answers are often the best answers. Consider, as you're thinking, what the most likely answer to a problem is. For instance, when we think about what kind of a future we could face, so many people are thinking EMP, which is the electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon. But if you look with statistical analysis, it shows that a pandemic is much more likely. And certainly, if you look at another thing, people are so concerned about an injury, a wound, that has a big blood loss, and that would cause death. Of course, this is important, but if you can look at what causes death around the world, it's mostly caused by respiratory illness, or in addition to that, there is diarrheal illness. So if we think about protecting our respiratory and protecting our digestive system, those are just things that we have to consider as important, more important than the big wounds that we can get thinking about. So we have to think about how we evaluate what potential risks are. And everybody does that in their own way. And I just bring it up as a question so that you can examine that question. And that's the great thing about freedom. Here we are free to examine all sorts of subjects and evaluate all sorts of things for ourselves. So think about these things and communicate, because through communication we get new ideas. We either embrace or put distance our own ideas that we have thought for a while. So one of the things that are going on, it seems like there's two things in people's minds these days. One is our One is our electrical grid, which could be destroyed either by an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which comes from a nuclear bomb, or a CME, which is a coronal mass ejection, which comes from the sun. So people are concerned with that as you listen. And then another thing people are concerned with these days is that there is going to be a crash of our economy or a collapse of our United States dollar. And a collapse of our United States dollar would probably lead to a worldwide economic crisis. So the people who examine these possibilities, for instance, of an economic crash or a collapse, they say that if that were to occur, the United States would not function in a normal way for 6 to 8 months and maybe longer. And in those months of a broken down system, we would have to restore economic order, and until that was done, we would be bartering for what we need. And the question is also, who would be supplying what we needed? Because if the trucks could not buy fuel and the stores could not operate their cash registers, or have money transfers or credit card purchases, that's what some of the people are looking at as what could be a problem. So in my life, in my personal life and my business life, I've tried to evaluate and resolve problems before they occur. So it's kind of natural for me to look at these big picture items, but there's lots of people who are looking at these things now in these days. Lots of people who are identifying the big potential problems, like these last two problems, the electric grid and the economic system. So we have to remember, where does our main responsibility lie? Well, with our family and for loving other people. That's what we're commanded to do, love one another. But our family is very important, right in there for the at the top of the list. And how do we figure out how to do this? Well, we examine the spiritual preparation and the physical preparation. And as we think about this, we can kind of examine what kind of a time frame is involved. Because that's a puzzle. And I know that I've said, was it 3-4 months ago on Christ Today, I expressed my concern about our nation's economic situation. And I supposed that a crisis would occur between 2 months and 2 years from that time. That's my personal guess. But there have been more than a few high-level money academicians, academic people, and money fund managers who have been actively getting ready for a crisis to occur. And of those, there's so many who have predicted that 2018 would be the year that a big money crisis would occur. Often enough, they're calling it the biggest money crisis of our lifetime. So does that get your attention? Well, it gets my attention. But I've already been thinking this for a few years, and I think it's important to consider the information. You have to ask yourself, do I believe those people? No, don't believe those people, but do pay attention to it. And that's the way it is for me, and that's the way I suggest it is for you. Don't believe me. Don't believe them. But look for yourself and see what the indicators are showing you. If it's a concern for you, then do something about it. Take some steps to make things, prepared for a problem. So it's not just the economic indicators you have to look at. It is certainly the spiritual indicators. In fact, history, biblical history, sure shows us that it's those spiritual indicators that are far the most important. So, we could ask here, is our nation behaving obediently to God? Are our churches behaving obediently to God? And are we, each one of us, behaving obediently to God? Well, I'm sure we will all have a different answer to this question, or those questions. I know that for myself, that's the only one I can really answer, but I can ask you to examine these questions, and you know the best. We all have a decision to make for ourselves. So is our nation behaving obedient to God? Are our churches behaving obedient to God? And are we behaving obedient to God? So, do we get consequences? Consequences. Certainly we do. And I'm thankful for the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, because we all have shortcomings. Certainly I do. But we make efforts, and we try, and we try, and we try. Or I've heard it said, don't try, do it. And that's true too. But you take the steps, and you make things happen as well as you know how. There's been a surprising number of Christians in the last year and a half who've said they have had a dream or a word from God, which indicates that in a short time that trouble would be arriving here. And I have a hard time believing a lot of things that I hear. I really don't. But I do think that we can still recognize all these things as indicators, especially when you take the wide variety of things that are being talked about. Just consider them. And that's what I do. I consider them. It's not that I would believe them. I don't expect you to believe me either. Sure, question all of it. And then look for yourself and see what makes sense. Because we all have different ideas and we all have different orientations. And that's the nice thing about being in a community, a small community, like a neighborhood or a church, or the point is we all have different ideas, and we can all have compassion for one another and help in times of difficulty. And yet we have to be wise and prudent with the things that we do have. It's a lot to figure out. So give it some thought, think about it in advance, and then apply your thought to whatever your concerns are, whatever outcome you want. And that's another time that I would say, think, plan, and do. I seem to say that a lot. I've heard that 10% of Americans are making preparations for some serious event to occur. And from what I can gather, about of that 100%, 2% are preparing for a year or longer of crises. And 8% of that 100% are preparing for a 2 to 3 month crisis or longer. Of course, I'm concerned for how the other 90% will manage. I know that if you consider the 10% of the people who are preparing, well, they will not have enough food or supplies for the 90% who are not preparing. I think the balance keeps going more towards preparation, but I don't think it's at 20% yet. My point is, there's people who are preparing, and yet it's never enough to prepare for everybody. Everybody needs to prepare something for themselves. So maybe you've heard, besides these regular people who are preparing, there are the rich, the elite people, the richest 1% of the wealthiest people. They are preparing also. They see a crisis coming. They see a breakdown coming. So they are preparing for the electricity to go out, the food system and water systems and society to break down. They've been doing this for a few years now. That's what the elite are preparing for. And I don't know what it means you should do, but to me, these are all indicators, and I like to consider a lot of different things and then see which direction things are going. To me, it says do something to prepare, and you have to figure out what fits into your budget. It might be 5 pounds of rice and 5 pounds of sugar and 5 gallons of water. I think everybody could do that. For me, I can tell you it is whole wheat, sugar, salt, olive oil, and some spices. Also a wheat grinder, propane camp stove, vitamins, and a cast iron pot with a lid. So you see, I'm not a super prepper by all, not at all. But I do think about having some things put aside for that just-in-case situation. And I urge you to think about it and see if that's something you want to do. We all have different ideas about what to stock up on, and that's the advantage of being a community, is that we can help each other and use resources that each other have. What is a community? Well, it could be your small neighborhood, or it could be your church. Just think about what it could mean. Give it some thought, because you never know who you're going to have to depend on. As we drive, sometimes we have problems, and we have to rely on somebody that we don't know, a stranger. And then you have to use every caution, because there's strangers that are helpful and there's strangers that are dangerous. So we live in very interesting times. I do think of the end times, or the end of time. It's been called the end of the world, but whatever it is, we can see that things are changing in a big way. And I like to look at Matthew chapter 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. All these things have been written that Jesus said before the end comes, there would be famine and a few other things. But read about it. With three authors, this means there is great unity for what the coming problems will be as you consider what is the coming of the end of the world or the coming of the end of this age. So one of the things that Jesus tells us is be not deceived. Be not deceived. Now that's a big one because we want to believe people, we want to believe our institutions and our government. We want to believe. But Jesus tells us, be not deceived. Jesus also tells us that there will be famine and war, famine and earthquakes. That's what Jesus says. And he tells us that there will be persecution of his people. So, with all these things that we can expect, what do you think we ought to do? Are these the end days? What do you think? And if they are, what are we doing about it? Are the end days close? Again, what are we doing about it? Are you ready for deception, famine, earthquakes, war, and persecution? I think that anybody should pay attention, especially his people, his Christian people. Yes, pay attention and get some supplies. That's what I think. And I can think of food and water. If you are concerned about persecution or something, just you might not want to go out. So I just see more reasons to get ready. Think about the scriptures. Think about the plan and then the doing of something. I know I think of Matthew 24:3. Oh, let's just go over a little scripture. Matthew 24:3. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So that's one form of deception. Verse 6. "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled at all, for these things must come to pass. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places." So that's Matthew. Mark says a similar thing in chapter 13. He says, when he is asked, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus answered them and said, "Take heed that no man deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, be not troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For kingdom will rise against kingdom, and nation against nation, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles, and these are the beginnings of sorrows." So we got that. And then we get Luke 21. He says, "And so they asked him, saying, 'Teacher, when will these things be, and what sign will it be when these things are about to take?' That you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, go do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. Okay, well, as you can see, what's coming is not pleasant. When that's coming, we don't know. But I think there's always some things we can do to prepare. And what they are, well, that's individual choice. And for that, well, I can just give you ideas, and that's what I'm trying to do by talking about this. Ideas about what makes sense. I've had some lists today, and lists are good. They give you ideas. But whether the lists are long or short, you'll have to consider your personal situation and what the things are that you're considering. I think I'll read my mail list. This is one of the papers that I am very happy to send anyone who writes me. And I'm going to read this now. The medical list that you choose is as personal and as varied as your choice of foods, because some will prepare for natural disaster and others will prepare for man-made disaster or war. Medically, some will orient towards surgery, others to osteopathy or obstetrics, and there will still be others who orient towards emergency medicine, which is first aid. Remember, the basic concept of first aid is to give comfort and to show hope. And also, if it is losing air, plug the leak. If it is losing blood, stop the flow. And if it is broken, stabilize it. If it's a mess, clean it, add ointment, and cover it. Stabilize it. Whether there's one or one dozen patients, constantly keep written notes. For both the caregiver and the patient's sake, give care and treatment in the area where you are both out of harm's way. The first question to ask your patient might be, "Is there anything I should be aware of?" They could point out their injury, or they could point out the guy behind you with a weapon. So, basic first aid and supplies, both for A, in your medical kit, and B, in your supply room. Have some saline water, triple antibiotic ointment, lots of that, petroleum jelly, iodine tincture, hydrogen peroxide, surgical gauze pad, lots, 1-inch medical cloth tape, lots and lots, ACE-type bandages, burn relief gel or spray, and lots of each of the following: ibuprofen, acetaminophen, antihistamine, antidiarrheal, hydrocortisone cream. And other good ideas that I've listed are vinyl or nitrile gloves, probably boxes of them, simple face masks, lots, and these will also help you filter dust and ash, a good pair of pointed tweezers and flat tweezers, oral thermometer, several, blood pressure cuff, small and medium-sized scissors, several, latex rubber tubing, head-mounted focused LED flashlight, several, disposable scalpels, small curved skin sewing needles, ordinary pointed needle nose pliers, EpiPens, an eyewash cup, maybe an esophageal tube, unscented hand soap, razors, a wristwatch with a second hand, a SAM type of splint, oval eye covering, snake bite kit, ammonia inhalant, space blanket, Tyvek gowns, plenty, a mirror, petroleum coated gauze, quick clot, now that's coagulant, and you will still want to apply pressure to direct pressure to a bleeding wound. Other things are paper and pencil and pen. Pencils write in the rain, pens do not, so that's a consideration. Also, there is all-weather paper, which stays together when wet, so that's another consideration. And then I talk a little bit about how to clean a wound, and you always want to cover it and check for infection. And I note emotional healing. God calls upon us to forgive those who have hurt us and to show compassion. It is my belief that protecting yourself from further harm aligns with this teaching. So anyway, these are some of the things that I've made notes of, and I certainly want you to know that they are available to you simply by writing to me. I do have these little lists to help inspire you to think, because after all, it is those thoughts that are the most important thing. They orient us, and they give us a way to look at the just in case and to question our own thinking, plans, and ideas. A written list is important for that, and so is talking about this. Talking about it gives us ideas. And we can say yes or no to ideas. It's just that we need a little inspiration, and that's what I hope that these lists are inspiring you to do. We have situations that we have to respond to, and if times get difficult, they will be even more important to respond to some kind of a situation. Certainly. Yeah, I have been thinking I will read a poem. You know, last week there was a man who read a poem on the radio show. He gave me a number of poems, and I just think they are they're cautionary. They are a concern because we are in a spiritual battle, and this kind of makes it plain that we are in a war. We are in a battle, and we want to be faithful to God in the middle of it. So here's one of those little poems. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. The time to decide is here. We haven't any time anymore. God's judgment is drawing near. Repent, repent, tremble in fear. The hour is now, and hearken your ear. The time of decision is upon us. Judgment hangs over our head. Repent and seek God's forgiveness. Peradventure we will be spared instead. The time to choose is closing. We're running out of time. Our nation stands guilty before God. We must pray for those heinous crimes. That judgment is coming for certain. Yet who knows, perhaps still God will relent. It may be that God will yet spare us if we sincerely and humbly repent. Christ's church is caught in confusion as we convert the ways of to ways of the world, and because of our great unfaithfulness, judgment on his church is unfurled. We no longer teach the gospel because of this stumble. We stray, and many will be sent to hell because of this. Judgment is spreading our way. Selfishly, as we live our life, we will claim to represent Christ. We live for our comfort and our pleasure, but we have ceased living alone for Christ. Only a few now study God's Word, and as such the truth is obscured. Till now many have become blinded, and to the end that we are heading towards. It would seem Christ has become our second, and we've exalted ourselves instead. We no longer follow him faithfully. The church seems to slowly grow dead. Because of this, purging is coming. Judgment must begin in the house of God. Sorrow is quickly coming, and those unfaithful will be downtrod. Repent, repent. Perhaps God will relent. Perhaps God will grant us more time if we sincerely and humbly repent. Perhaps God will forgive us this crime. Open your eyes, clear your mind. Well, as you can see, this is the heart of the man who spoke last week and read to us. We have things that are going on in our country. We have things that are going on in our lives personally and in our churches around us. We have to grasp for righteousness. We have to seek God with all our hearts. What does all mean? All? Typically, we say it, but we don't mean it because we hold back with the things that we want. Instead, consider what it is or what it would be to pursue God with all your heart, mind, and spirit or soul. These are things that we all have to pay attention to. At some point, time will be short, whether it's time for us personally to be called to heaven or whether there is destruction coming upon the earth. We don't know, but we know that there is hard times coming, and that's why I read to you those passages from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because it's obvious. Things are going to happen in our world, and that's why I think about preparedness. It's not that so that we can have wonderful things when nobody else does. No, we want to share. That's a part of Christianity. Share and love our Christian family. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are just in a situation here, and the right thing to do, well, you get to choose that for yourself, but I'm giving you ideas so that you can see what the different possibilities are. It's important. It's important to be prepared in every way. That's why we have insurance. Insurance. We buy insurance for our cars or our homes or things. We think about what could happen. And don't just think in the material way. Think of things in spiritual terms. And that we want to prepare for. So, I want to thank you for listening today. And by the way, you can hear these broadcasts again on www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. So, I want to urge everyone to get their supplies, and you have to determine what those supplies will be. Will there be many or will there be few? This is what you get to figure out. Write me today if you want that free preparedness pamphlet. Just send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And of course, if you'd like to help me with broadcast costs, I would love to get a $20 bill or a $200 check or whatever you'd like to do. But look at your preparations first. And do your preparations first. So, thank you for listening today. And may you walk with God. God bless you.